Good morning, people.
Morning.
Great to be here this morning. Trust you've all had a good week and getting your voices ready for tonight, a carol service. Are we going to get a little preview of any lighting or anything like that? No, we're not. Okay. Well, you'll have to come along tonight, and the boys have worked very hard in preparation for tonight's service, and I'm sure that's going to be really good night. So again, encourage all your friends, your family, bring them along. It'll be a really great night. I trust you have all had a good week. We've had a wonderful, blessed week ourselves. We couldn't be more blessed. We've had went to Townsville last weekend and celebrated the wedding of our granddaughter Rebecca, Gary and Robin's daughter, and that was just a wonderful day. And we had another added blessing, of course, of Ezekiel John Kerwell being born, and meeting this little man during the week and just welcoming him into the world. And so, and of course, yesterday, Heather's daughter Rebecca was married, and we're at the wedding there. And so it's been a really, really tremendous week. And so we couldn't be more blessed than just enjoying the goodness of God, amen? And that goodness of God is upon all of us, and we just have to say, Lord, we're here, and just let God pour out his love and grace upon us as we open our arms to receive his goodness. And so this morning, we're coming into a wonderful time of the year, aren't we? Period of Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And so it's a really great time of the year. But this morning, I'd like to share this morning from Luke's Gospel, where the account there of the shepherds and the angels, how the shepherds had the great encounter with the angels that God sent to them. So the message this morning is from the Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and verses 8 to 20. I'll be sharing from that in a moment. But I believe there are many times that God uses and has used the most unlikely people, to deliver or to announce in an important event, or the declaration concerning his word and what is about to come to pass. And we see here in Luke's Gospel the type of people that God chose to hear and declare from the angels the message. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Amen. So that was the message that was declared from the angels to the shepherds. And what we see about our own lives too, just as the angels connected to the shepherd, these lowly shepherds, so there's a world out there, a hurting world, a hurting people. And I believe it's something that we need to do, is just connect with the people in our community who are less fortunate than ourselves. And there are many, many people out there who are yet to come to know Jesus Christ. And this, particularly at this time of the year, there are many people, I'm sure, just feel disconnected. They feel alienated. They feel lonely, all those sorts of things. And the people who just don't feel right at this time of the year, they just don't seem to be able to fit in because of their own personal circumstances. But what we need to do is because God has given us a Saviour. It was a God-given gift to all mankind. God is for all man, every man, woman, a child. God wants to have that encounter with people, for them to come to know him in a wonderful way. And I feel with the birth of Jesus and how God connected, the angels connected with the shepherds, I feel what we have to remember, that the culture at that time, shepherds were held in a very low esteem, and was probably not the best occupation to have, being a shepherd. So this morning, I just feel about us all, bringing a touch of Christmas into the lives of the overlooked or those less fortunate than us, those with needs that many of us may never understand or even experience. But God wants us to connect and touch these types of people with the love of Jesus. And this morning, I'd just like to share also that it's a Christmas song we sing, very popular one, that goes to these words. So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and a new one to come. And so this is Christmas, I hope you have fun. The near and the dear ones, the old and the young. A very Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year. Let's hope it's a good one without any fear. And so this is Christmas for the weak and the strong, for the rich and the poor ones. The world is so wrong. It's a beautiful old song that, and we sing it with great joy and gusto, but I feel we could apply the words of that song to all our hopes and dreams, you know, all our cares, our worries. But unless we know the giver, unless we know the giver, the Lord Jesus Christ, these many things, you know, things will never change or be achieved or come to be a realization. And it's only Jesus Christ in our lives who can make all these things happen. Because we know God has given this wonderful gift, but we have to know the giver, don't we? We need to know the giver. And so three things I feel that come out of this passage of scripture this morning that I'll be sharing about as a derision, as a declaration, and about devotion. And I asked the question this morning, have you ever forgotten something that is really important? I think everyone could put their hand up and say, yes, I've been guilty of that. I've forgotten something that's happened, an anniversary, a birthday or whatever, you know, or some really important thing, or you forgot to do something. You know, we're all guilty of that, aren't we? And so things happen. But there's a story goes about a young lady who left home to go to university to study. And leaving all her plants and her goldfish in the care of her mother, and a mother who had a tendency to be a little bit forgetful. And so what we see here in this story, the plants that the daughter left behind in the care of her mother, the plants died at the end of the month. And the mother dutifully broke the bad news to her. And when the young woman called a week later, her mother confessed that the goldfish had died also. And there was a long pause on the phone. Then in a fearful voice, the girl asked, "How's Dad?" But the point is what I'm making. She forgot to feed the goldfish. She forgot to water the plants because not only forgetful, but through the busyness of life, we tend to forget things. But so as we come into this Christmas season, you know, as I said, it is easy to forget things because we get so caught up, don't we? We get so caught up in the things of the world, the things that are around us, everything that's going on. But so it is easy to get our priorities mixed up, and the true meaning of Christmas can easily be forgotten. But because we begin to think about all the presents and the decorations and break-up parties, all that thing, singing carols and, of course, eating lots of food. So things do happen, and we do forget sometimes about the true meaning of Christmas. But so often we just need to be reminded, don't we? We need to be reminded about the true meaning of Christmas. And I'm sure everyone knows it's not found in the wrappings, it's not found in the gifts, but it's found in the gift that the Scripture talks about, the God-given gift, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. Many people say Jesus is the reason, and how Christmas came about. So we experience that. We love that. And we also see many examples and video clips about the meaning of Christmas. And one of those clips is about Charlie Brown's Christmas. Anyone seen that? I'm sure some of the kids have. They're all out there. But I'm sure you've heard of it. But the story, Charlie Brown's Christmas. Charlie Brown goes out to pick out a Christmas tree because they're having a Christmas party and celebration. All their gang was getting together and they're going to have a real good time. So it was Charlie Brown's job to go and pick out a tree. And he goes and picks out this tree. It's a lonely tree out on its own, and it wasn't a very good-looking tree. But Charlie Brown bought this tree back, and it was not many branches on the tree, and it seemed to be drooping a lot. And when they set it up, all the needles, the pine needles on the branches, started to drop out. And the story goes that Charlie Brown, when all his friends started to mock him and ridicule him and say, "What a lousy tree you got. Of all the trees out there, you bought this lousy looking tree. And look at it now. It's all bent over. It's only got a couple of branches on it. And it's dropping all its leaves." And so Charlie Brown felt very despaired, and he was getting very upset about it. And he said, "Well, what's the meaning of Christmas anyway? What's it all about?" And so Charlie Brown posed that question, and it's then when his friend Lioness gets up and he spoke about that. And in the clip there, that his friend Lioness speaks about the message of Christmas, and he tells a story from Luke chapter 2, verse commencing at verse 8, the shepherds and the angels. "That night there were shepherds staying in the field nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them and said, 'Don't be afraid, I bring you good news. I bring you good news that will be a great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.' And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others and the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased.'" And so that was the message that Linus, Charlie Brown's friend, declared to people. And he continued and went on saying, "When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them." So here we see that account of little Linus, Charlie Brown Spen, he was the one, because Charlie said, I don't understand what the meaning of Christmas is all about. And perhaps someone may say that to you. Someone may ask you, well, what's Christmas all about? Well, here's a wonderful opportunity. It's a very simple story, a simple account of how God brought angels to the shepherds, to how God chose these men to go to Bethlehem, to check out this baby, and to come back and declare what a wonderful thing had happened, how the Lord had brought the Messiah into the world. And so I believe that there that it's a good example for us. You know, we have to have that faith and the boldness to really testify about, you know, the good news. We speak often about the good news, but it's not good news if we don't share it, is it? We need to be able to share the news that Jesus Christ was born as a Saviour who came into the world to save us and to give us an everlasting life that was his promise. And so we enjoy that. We know the goodness of God. But like I said, there are many, many people who don't yet know Jesus Christ. And that's the message that we have to take out to the world. And there. But so as I said, you know, this is what it's all about, isn't it? It's about this God-given gift that God has given us. It's about Emmanuel, God with us, in the person of Jesus Christ. And it's about God coming to touch us with this wonderful gift. And we need to be able to share this story, share the gift, share God's love amongst all people. It's about a Christmas touch. And particularly at this time of the year, we just need to be reaching out to others with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and for those who need to hear that. But in this passage of scripture there, how this bunch of people, these lowly shepherds who God chose to visit, the most unlikely people, you know, if we were looking for someone to introduce, you know, the birth of our Lord, we may have went to higher people, more educated people, all that sort of thing. But here we see God just reaching out to the untouched, the unloved. As I said, the culture of the day, being a shepherd wasn't the best job in the world to have. This bunch of people, the lowly shepherds, who God chose to visit them and in that way. And they're the type of people who are marginalised and forgotten. They had no status at all in their culture. They were not educated people. They lived amongst sheep, so they smelt like a sheep. And working with sheep, I know that the stench of sheep clings here. They're stinking things. They're not little white cuddly things that you pick up and throw over your shoulder like Jesus did, but that was how the Lord worked. You know, he touched the unloved, the unclean, and reached out to all types of people. But these people, the shepherds, and so as I'm saying, but through during Jesus' time, being a shepherd was a dead-end job. There was no hope for advancement or anything like that. And they had little chance of doing anything different in their lives. There, these were people who were considered, they were considered outcasts and misfits. And as we know, the shepherds, a hard job, a thankless job, apparently. It was dangerous. They're out there guarding the flocks and protecting from the animals and robbers and all that sort of thing. Overall, they weren't considered to be a very important type of person. And they couldn't participate in the feasts and holy days. And in regard to social matters, shepherds weren't famous for thievery. They were all considered to be thieves and robbers, you know, even though they guarded the sheep. They were considered, you know, they're worthless people, they're thieves, they're liars, they're all this sorts of thing. But being that type of person, persons. They weren't even permitted to give testimony in legal matters. So being a shepherd, you know, loneliness, weariness and boredom characterised the life of the shepherds, yet God chose them. It's amazing, isn't it, how God chooses the downtrodden, the lowly, the outcast. Of all the people he could have asked, he came and touched these poor, lowly shepherds. And so we see there that, you know, when it came to making the announcement about Jesus, God chose a type. God chose a type, a person, a people who would listen and be obedient to his desires to meet this baby Jesus, the Messiah. God might have asked these other people and they may have said, "Huh, we're not going to meet this fellow. Who's he?" But they were obedient. God visited through that visitation these lowly shepherds, these downcast type of people. And God used them in a wonderful way to go and meet this baby Jesus. The excitement. We're excited about meeting little Ezekiel. But I'm sure the shepherds, it tells us, you know, they were extremely excited and they had great joy. And they came, when they came back, they told everyone. And everyone was astonished about this good news, the birth of a Saviour to all mankind. And so there, our choices and God's choices were different. God's ways are not our ways and our ways are not God's ways. But God chose these lowly shepherds and God intentionally chose those shepherds. And the shepherds, they wouldn't have been expecting something like this at all. And it seems also that they weren't spiritually minded people. But this wasn't a random choice. God sent the angels. It was a God-appointed time, a God moment. And as we see, an ordinary night with ordinary sheep and with ordinary shepherds. It's amazing, isn't it? How God uses people, the most unlikely people. And if it wasn't for a God, you know, a God who loves to put the extra in front of the ordinary. Every person here this morning that I know is an extraordinary person because you have Jesus Christ in your lives. That's a wonderful thing. You know, there's a lot of people out there, but we have something different. We're extraordinary, because of what God's done in our lives and what God continues to do and what God wants to do in our third days that he's given us to live. And so this wasn't an ordinary night. This was a special night, a God-appointed night where the visitation of the angels came and visited these poor lowly shepherds. And from all accounts, this dark night just exploded with brightness. One minute the shepherds were fast asleep, the next minute they were awake, rubbing their eyes because the night was ordinary no more. It was ordinary no more. The angels came in the night because that's when the lights are best seen, aren't they? You know, if we switch out all the lights and put on all Hayden's lights there, it would be lit up. It would be a great sight, and we're looking forward to that tonight. But as we know, Christmas lights and festive lights and all that thing, they're a great sight in the darkness, aren't they? And I'm sure that night when the glory of God come down and shone all around, it must have been just an amazing, awesome time. And the shepherds, I can understand them being afraid and fearful in that moment. And, you know, what's happening? What's this brightness? What's this great light? And as we know in other scriptures, it speaks that a great light will come. And that night was ordinary no more. The angels came in the night because that was when the light shone best. And we know in our own lives, you know, that God chooses to come in our lives when, you know, for the same reason, We needed a light in our life at that appointed time when God touched each one of us. When Jesus Christ came into our life, you know, things changed, didn't they? We made changes. We, you know, took a new direction. And it was a God that given direction, a path that we chose to follow that God had laid out for us. And continue on, you know, how I said that God uses, often chooses to do his greatest work through people or things that we normally think as weak or unimportant, that God will use the most unlikely people. And this is, I feel, what the Apostle Paul means when he writes, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of us were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. So know that no one may boast before him. So there again, it just emphasises there that how God, that Paul uses this scripture here, that how God chooses people, that he didn't, as he said, not many were wise by human standards. He didn't use the wise and intellectual people. He didn't use the influential people. He didn't use those who are noble by birth, but he chose the weak and the downtrodden, the lowly, to emphasise the great wonders of what had happened on that wondrous night. So what I'm saying there is that to God, nobodies are somebodies, amen? And ordinaries are turned into extraordinaries. We're ordinary people chosen by God and through God touching our life, we're extraordinary people. And it's just a wonderful thing. But to every person, you know, each one needs to hear the good news, don't we? Amen? There's good news right there. So when the shepherds got the news about the birth of Jesus, they responded immediately. There was no hesitation. They just left the sheep, and we don't know what happened to the sheep. It doesn't matter. The thing that matters is they responded. They were obedient to the call of God. That's why God chose a person who would respond to him. And as I'm sure his spirit came upon them, and we see it. But they moved on it. They didn't sit around having a big consultation or a meeting or anything like that. They said, hey, let's go. Let's go and see this great thing. Let's see about the birth of this wondrous person. And so they hurried and they wanted to see the Messiah, and they became the first people to witness this miraculous birth, the birth of the Lord Jesus. And it was quite obvious. The shepherds were excited. And we see there how God opened their hearts. God opened their hearts, and his presence broke broke something in their spirit. And that's what God's done to us. When God touches us, he opens us up inside out. Times we just pour out, you know, everything that has to be dumped or gotten rid of. And that's what God wants to do that. But here these shepherds say they just abandoned everything and went to have that confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ at that particular time, to go and meet this Saviour who God had given to the world. So that's this morning. I just want to encourage everyone to connect with those that are with an open heart, those who are overlooked, those who are downtrodden, and we need to meet with those that are in need. But there are certainly many, many people in need. But we see over Christmas period, there are many, many charitable institutions and organisations. They just seem to just pour out so much, and great kids parties during the week. There's charities, what was it, Variety, what they call it, the Variety, yeah, yes. And so there was a real great kids party, about 5,000 kids or something. But, you know, the churches everywhere just, they just dig in and do something extra special to reach out and touch, to give those who are less fortunate than ourselves. We lack nothing, do we? We can praise God and say, hey, there's always bread on the table. We always have something to wear. We always, God supplies all of our needs. And we can go on with that trip according to our riches in Christ Jesus, and according to the power that worketh in us. And as we express that faith, that love, that grace, everything that God has given us, we can reach out and receive and touch people with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, but the truth is, you know, that as I was just saying, you know, God does not miss, you know, to identify with the poor. And we can identify with them through God's love in us. God's love, God's grace. God wants to share that there, because, you know, as we reach out to those who are less unfortunate than us, you know, the Spirit of God moves in us with compassion and love and all that sort of thing. As Scripture in Matthew says, that says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." You did for me. And that's what God wants for all of us, to touch those, touch others, but most of all with the message that God loves them. We can say God loves you and pat them on the back and all that sort of thing, but we have to do more than that. We have to be more than that sort of people. Any of us can go up and say, hey, God loves you, and, you know, laugh about it and all that, but we've got to go that extra mile and dig in a little bit deeper with love and compassion and touch people that way. And just like the shepherds, you know, all are invited to worship. All are invited to come and see. The shepherds, they came and they seen. And so it is for a world out there who doesn't know Jesus to come and see. And we have to give that invitation. Our theme, the message, the vision for the year is about the invitation. And Pastor Chris has spoken about that often so far, and will continue to do so. And the message, you know, hey, come and see. And the scripture also, you know, this man Jesus, as we look to him, he says, the scripture says, think about it. Think about this man Jesus. Come and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And we see, you know, by the grace of God, everyone is welcome in the kingdom of God. Amen. It's just wonderful to welcome people into the kingdom, isn't it? And there. But so we connect with the overlook. You know, ask God to give you the compassion and passion. We can have compassion, but if we haven't got passion, you know, the two work in hand in hand. Compassion and passion to understand the needs and then extend out the loving arms of God around us to others. Connect with the overlook. See God on their faces. See God on their faces. We were after the wedding yesterday, we went and had a coffee, but coming out, there's a guy sitting there on his own. He looked pretty sad and lonely. And I went over and I said, "Are you all right, mate?" He said, "Yeah, things are okay. Don't worry." But he just seemed that sort of person who was there on his own. And, you know, he just looked pretty lonely. And probably little guy, person who just wasn't experiencing the goodness of life. And you could see, you know, that he was a troubled sort of a person. But, you know, that's the compassion that God wants us to reach out. But because of the situation, you know, we probably could have done a lot more. But God wants us to touch people. But at least if we see someone like that, at least let our heart have that heartfelt feeling. And you can say, God, you know, provide that person in this situation, whatever that need, that this, whatever this person has experienced, Lord, touch them, meet that need, minister to their heart. Take the love of Jesus Christ with them. As I said, touch them with your eyes and with your time and your love. Father, we just bless you, Lord, this morning. We thank you, Father God, that we can come together again. And Lord, throughout this season, as we celebrate the wonderful occasion, the birth of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that through everything that we experience, Father, the joy, the excitement, all these things, Lord, we just pray, Father, Lord, that we can just touch others with your great love for us, Father God. And so this morning, Lord, our prayer is that the Lord would bless you and keep you. The Lord would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Let the peace of God be in your heart, be on your heart, and we'll be at peace with the world around us. A troubled world, a world that needs God, the world that's so desperately needs the touch and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank you again for this day, Lord. Lord, and again as we come together again tonight, Lord, again we can just reach out to you, Father. Lord, we can reach out and just in a wonderful way through the songs that we'll sing, through the things we'll share together. We know, Lord, coming together again will be a wonderful time. But Lord, for this morning, for everything we've done and said, everything we've shared here this morning, Lord, we thank you for your presence upon us, Lord. Let that presence go with each person here today as we just depart our various ways. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.